You are Locked On Balls, your daily podcast on the Tennessee Volunteers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Good Wednesday, everybody, and welcome to Locked On Vols. It's your team every day. I'm your host, Eric Kane, a radio personality in Knoxville, Tennessee, on the Tennessee Football Beat, and covering Tennessee football recruiting for VolQuest.com, a part of the Rivals Network. Got a big show coming up here today. I'll tell you all about it here in just a minute, but a reminder, you can follow this podcast on Twitter at Locked On Vols. You can follow me on Twitter at _Kaner. And you can find this podcast each and every weekday morning, wherever you listen to your podcast. It's available when you get out of bed in the morning. So, a fun show coming up. First in segment number one, Kim English, Tennessee assistant basketball coach, has left the program to become the next head coach at George Mason. So, congratulations to him. But what's this mean for the Tennessee basketball program? We'll dissect in segment one and touch base with Josh Ward in segment number two. Ward Wednesday. It's a new feature debuting here on this episode. Of course, you guys know Josh used to host this podcast, and whenever he signed off to kind of hand over the reins to me, he did say he'd be back frequently, and I've been happy to have him back, you know, a couple weeks now since I've taken over. And now, starting this Wednesday, he's going to be made available to this podcast each and every Wednesday for Ward Wednesday. That'll be in segment number two of every Wednesday show. So we'll talk to Josh. He'll touch base on Kim English and the rest of Tennessee basketball and early exit, of course, the start of spring practice, and more. And then in the final segment, segment number three, I want to recap a little bit of the Lady Vols loss today to Michigan. The three-seeded Lady Vols lost to the six-seeded Michigan in the round of 32 of the women's basketball tournaments, and that will conclude the season for the Lady Vols. So all that and more here on a Wednesday show. So Kim English has been named the next head coach at George Mason University. Of course, a lot of you guys listening right now might remember George Mason, the Patriots, from that famous Final Four run back in 2006. It was the first time and only time the program had reached the Final Four, the Elite Eight, the Sweet 16, and the first time in program history at the time that it reached the round of 32. It went back to the round of 32 in 2011. But I remember George Mason from that magical run in 06. You might remember George Mason from anything else. Of course, it's part of the Atlantic 10. It's in Virginia, but you know, Kim English interviewed, and he has been named the head coach for the Patriots of George Mason. And Kim English is a Baltimore native, and so he has strong ties into the area. It's a very, very good basketball recruiting spot. A lot of great basketball teams are from that area, obviously. And I think it's a tremendous opportunity for the 32-year-old. Kim English, only 32 years old, if you remember, came on staff when Rob Lanier went and took the head coaching job at Georgia State, and Kim English has been next to Rick Barnes the last two seasons, and now he gets his first head coaching opportunity. Kim English, as we know, was a standout shooting guard at Missouri. He was an all, I guess that was a part of the Big 12 at the time. Yeah, part of that. I mean, he was an all Big 12 performer while in school. He was a tournament MVP one of those years. He was drafted by the Detroit Pistons in the second round back in 2012. He had a brief NBA career and then went and played overseas and stayed in the professional game up until 2015 before getting started in coaching. There, he made stops at Tulsa, Colorado, and Tennessee as an assistant in the last two seasons here in Knoxville. So good for Kim English, man. That's awesome. I mean, the whole point, if you're in coaching, is to, you know, make your stops, and then get your opportunity to be a head basketball coach and to be a head football coach, whatever sport you're in. And Kim English is only 32 years old. He is widely regarded as an up-and-coming coach, a great basketball mind, a guy that can relate to players very, very well. We've seen that here in Knoxville. And so good for him. And the fact that he spent two seasons with Rick Barnes learning from one of the great college basketball coaches to do it, really, and watching him go to work, watching him make in-game adjustments and decisions and how he approaches the teams in certain situations, it prepared Kim English for this spout. And so now he's the head coach at George Mason. He's taking over for Dave Paulson. This is a Patriots club that has not made an NCAA appearance since, I guess, back in 2011. And outside of a couple of runs, really, not a whole lot of postseason success. Of course, plays in the Atlantic 10. Hasn't been back to the tournament since 2011. When it won the regular season, it won a conference tournament back in 08. Of course, it you know, again, it went to the round of 32 back in 2011, but that 2006 season, that was the magical one, that Final Four run. And Tennessee now in the market for an assistant coach. I think it's a little too early in the process to kind of speculating, I guess, who might take a spot. But Rick Barnes will find somebody else. Assistant coaches want to work for Rick Barnes for reasons I already pointed out. But no mistake about it. Kim English, a big loss for Tennessee's program because he recruits so well. He was very pivotal in the recruitment process of Kennedy Chandler. Some of these other guys who have been on campus here lately, these two five-star freshmen that have just played this year. So good recruiter, a young, fiery coach, and now getting his first opportunity. So good for him. We'll, of course, keep you updated on that assistant coaching search. When Rick Barnes makes that official, we will let you know right here on Locked On Vols. We will catch up with Josh Ward coming up here in just a second. I'll ask him about Kim English and a number of different topics as Tennessee football begins its spring venture tomorrow. But first, let me remind you guys about my friends at Blue Chew. Blue Chew's making waves and bringing more confidence to the bedroom. It's a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but it's in a chewable form and at a fraction of the cost. Blue Chew's tablets combat all forms of ED. It can help men gain that extra confidence when you need it and when it's time to perform. Blue Chew is an online prescription service, so no visits to the doctor's office, no awkward conversations, no waiting in line at the pharmacy, and it ships directly to your door in a discreet package. The process is simple. Sign up at BlueChew.com, consult with one of their licensed medical providers, and once you're approved, you'll receive your prescription within days. The best part, again, it's all online. Blue Chew's licensed medical providers work with you to find the right ingredient and strength for your prescription. So if you need a benefit with an extra confidence and it's time to perform, you need to head on over to BlueChew.com. And for more details, you can find them there at BlueChew.com about safety and information in that regard. But while you're there, try Blue Chew for free when you use our promo code LOCKEDON. You can say it at checkout. All you have to do is pay $5 in shipping. That's BlueChew.com, promo code LOCKEDON to receive your first month's free of Blue Chew. And we thank Blue Chew for sponsoring this podcast a couple of times a week. And here we are. It's the month of March. It's March Madness, and it's Built Bar Madness. Low calorie, high protein, high fiber, amazing tasting protein bar. 100% chocolate on all the bars. It is literally a protein bar that looks and tastes like a candy bar. You guys know my spill. I talk about it every single day, pretty much every day, and it's been every single day in March. And so here in March, trying to find out which Built Bar is best. So I told you the matchup on Monday and on Tuesday. And today's matchup, we've got my favorite Built Bar, Cookies and Cream, going up against Coconut Almond. Again, that's Cookies and Cream going up against Coconut Almond. My vote is going to be Cookies and Cream. Simply put, it's the goats. What say you? What say you? Almond or Cookies and Cream? Cast your vote at BuiltBar.com or on Twitter at @bar_built. Remember to use the promo code LOCKED15 when you can get 15% off on your next order. That's LOCKED15 to get 15% off your next order at BuiltBar.com. And check back later on today. See who won. See who's waiting in the next matchup. We're in the enticing eight right now. See which one moves on to the next matchup and who you'll be casting your vote for this time next week. All that at BuiltBar.com. Today on the Locked On Today podcast, you can get more of the sports news you need in less time with the Locked On Today podcast. You can follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Radio.com app or wherever you get your podcasts. And guys, here is Josh Ward. A lot to talk about. First, we'll start with Tennessee basketball, an upsetting early round loss in the tournaments. Could be to this year's Cinderella, TBD on that, but obviously a disappointment is how you'd summarize, I would imagine, this basketball season for Tennessee and Rick Barnes.
Yeah, how could you say otherwise? And I think that applies to Tennessee fans talking about how the season went, or Tennessee's coaches or Tennessee's players. And that doesn't mean that it was a terrible season. It doesn't mean that the season lacked bright spots. It's just that Tennessee went into the year hoping to win the SEC. And that didn't happen in the regular season. It did not happen in the tournament. And certainly Tennessee did not plan to be one and done in the NCAA tournament. And we saw this team against Missouri at the start of SEC play and against Kansas in the middle of conference play and in non-conference play. Tennessee was just kind of cruising along through that before SEC play began. And it looked like a team, in my opinion, that could have competed with the best in the country when the NCAA tournament arrived. But as the SEC schedule went along, Tennessee was just too up and down. And there were too many games where the Vols showed how bad they could be. And that showed up again against Oregon State.
And now, so you're starting to turn the page of the offseason. You're going to see roster turnover. You're going to see likely a couple of guys drafted, potentially a guy, likely a guy in the lottery, at least one. And now you have to replace an assistant coach, Kim English, who is widely regarded as an up-and-coming, going to be a good head coach one day, now gets a chance. He's heading to George Mason. Tennessee not only loses a good assistant coach and a good coach off Rick Barnes' staff, but also a really good recruiter for this program.
Right. Kim English is very well thought of. I mean, to be 32 years old and getting a head coaching position at George Mason, that says something. And we knew when he was hired at Tennessee that he probably would not be in Knoxville long because his name was being brought up with head coaching jobs. And he was talked about as a potential head coach after 1 year at Tennessee. But this is also a program that can spend money on an assistant coach, and it's an attractive position. And working for Rick Barnes is something that I think a lot of coaches out there, especially if they're trying to rise in the profession, or if there's a veteran coach out there, like the coach that Kim English replaced was Rob Lanier, who would be more of a veteran. He had been a head coach before and is again. And you also have two assistant coaches on the staff, assuming they stay and that they're at Tennessee next year, that are well thought of. So Kim English is a loss, but he's also a replaceable coach because despite the disappointing season, this is a program that is very respected, and Tennessee has a head coach who in the profession is very respected.
Let's shift gears now and look to the football field. Of course, spring practice is going to be getting going tomorrow. Pro day will also be tomorrow. All these on Thursday. And so many questions, so many storylines kind of heading in the spring practice. But if I had to say, Josh, pick what you're going to be watching for, number one, over the next, we'll call it 6 weeks. What would that be for Tennessee spring practice?
Well, I do think the conversation has to start at quarterback because of the competition, the unknown, the optimism that comes with Josh Heupel coaching the offense and what the potential is. And again, just back to the competition, you have four guys to talk about. That's really intriguing. But I think you can go deeper than that and talk about just what the offense can be. How explosive can it be? There is talent at wide receiver. Is it ready to show up on the field? Because we talked about the freshman class this past fall, and we saw Jalen Hyatt a fair amount. We did not see much of the other receivers, but they have a lot of talent. They have speed. They have athleticism. They can make some plays. I'm curious, what can a newcomer like Walker Merrill do to provide maybe immediate help there as they have to replace Josh Palmer, but you get Bayless Jones back, and he has terrific speed. So there's something to work with. So I would say, how good can this offense be? How explosive can it be immediately? And that question also comes with the involvement of the running backs. You would love to have Eric Gray and Ty Chandler back, but they're gone. So what can somebody like Tyon Evans, who's a newcomer, an early enrollee, Jalen Wright as well, as an early enrollee at running back, what can they provide? Jabari Small coming back. There's talent to work with. How quickly will it come together, starting with the quarterback position being coached by Josh Heupel and his staff?
Then you move the defense, and you can't go anywhere without talking about the middle of that defense. Who's going to be out there, and who knows what's going on with Henry Tuolotu right now. The rumors are flying. I don't think we're going to know officially until, we ask Josh Heupel, coming up tomorrow or the end of the week, and along with Corvarius Crouch as well. But if those two guys are out, kind of the situation we've been in, Jeremy Banks is a returner, but he was a project. You've got Solomon Page, Aaron Beasley. You've got Morvin Joseph, potentially Bryson Easton, Martavis French. You've got some guys that have been on the roster but haven't played. And, that linebacker spot starting in the middle and then working your way out, three big question marks for Tennessee moving forward.
Yeah, we could go position group by position group, and there are big questions. There's more depth coming back on the defensive line, and that helps. But what do you have with your pass rush on defense? But sure, linebacker is going to be the biggest question, I think, going in. And it's a position group that I think really needed to improve from how it played last year. And that's with now more personnel questions heading into this fall. So I would start there, but in the secondary, what can you put together? You do have some players returning with some nice potential. I wouldn't give up on Jalen McCullough. I think he still could be a productive player at safety. Same with Trayvon Flowers. And then younger players like Tamari McDonald, what can he grow into? Another question will be, and maybe it applies to both sides of the ball, is how do players fit in? How have they been evaluated by this coaching staff as guys could be moving around into slightly different positions or one side of the ball to the other. That could be something to talk about with newcomers either this week or over the next few months. But you could, I'm not kidding, go position by position and come up with a list of questions for every single one, which is probably common when you have a coaching staff, but especially this offseason, you have some roster turnover, you have a new staff coming in, you have unknown. I mean, you mentioned Henry To'oto'o and the rumors out there. I mean, it's a legitimate question. Is he on the team? Yeah. So you want to talk about questions. Hey, is one of the most talented players going to be a part of the team or not? The last time we heard about him and Crouch, it was Tennessee's assistant coaches talking about, well, we're worried about the players who are here. Well, is at least one of them going to be here? That's still a big question.
All right, last one, Josh, we'll get you out of the door. Flipping back to offense, and you touched on it a moment ago. Obviously, the conversation is going to start with quarterback. It's the most important position in all of sports, in my opinion. And, I'm asking these same questions. I had Blake Topmar on the show yesterday. I'm asking a variation of these same questions. And But the quarterback position, Blake said that this is probably the deepest and most attainable position battle in terms of quarterback since, Josh Dobbs has been here, because it's deep. You have options. Some of them are unproven. Are they the greatest? No. But you do have options. And, all four of these guys, whether it be Hendon Hooker, Harrison Bailey, Caden Saltz, or even Brian Maurer, all four of these guys have legitimate opportunity to play a lot in this offense with a new coaching staff and a clean slate. Kind of how do you view that going in? With all four of those guys probably going to be splitting reps and ultimately seeing which one grabs the offense better leaving spring practice and heading into fall camp.
Yeah, and it may be comparable to 2013 when Tennessee had four quarterbacks in that group, Justin Worley, Nate Peterman. Then you had two freshmen coming in, and Josh Dobbs ultimately had to play because of injuries that occurred. And he wasn't ready then, but he developed into a really good quarterback down the line. That might be kind of how it plays out with this group, where the conversation we have now and then where it is in the next year, 2 years could change for sure. Like Caden Salter, he's a freshman quarterback. Is he ready now versus how will he be at the end of the season or next year? I don't know, but I would handicap it with Hendon Hooker being the favorite to be the starter right now. He has the most experience. He's easily the most productive quarterback to this point. And Harrison Bailey's not had much of a chance. Caden Salter's had no chance to be productive at the college level. But still, that's where it is right now. And Hooker did come in to play for a different staff when he committed to Tennessee, but that applies to the other quarterbacks. So I would say let's see what Hendon Hooker can do. He has great playmaking ability with his legs. He can make plays. He can hit balls down the field. Can he do it more consistently? That comes back to the receivers. Can those guys get open and make plays down the field? I think there's opportunity there. So I would say Hendon Hooker is the favorite. I'll be curious to see how Harrison Bailey develops and then how does Brian Maurer respond to kind of a restart with a coach that recruited him in high school when Brian Maurer was a prospect in Florida. So I'd be surprised if Caden Salter is the guy right now, but let's see how he develops. And that's a conversation to maybe have as we go through the 2021 season, depending on how the guy who ultimately wins the job plays.
Josh Ward on Ward Wednesday, something else we're doing here on Locked On Vols each and every week. Appreciate it. And of course, former host here of Locked On Vols, you can still catch him on the radio in Knoxville, Tennessee, 99.1 The Sports Animal from noon to 3 each and every day. Josh, appreciate it, man.
Yeah, great to be on. Excited to be on each week. Thanks, Eric.
Always enjoy talking with Josh Ward. I know you guys love to hear from Josh Ward. And again, every Wednesday for Ward Wednesday here on Locked On Vols. So some of the conversation we held was about the NCAA tournament, really about Tennessee's bowing out in the first round of the NCAA tournament. But the tournament goes on, March Madness goes on, and you can be a winner at Bet Online. So Bet Online sent me some odds for tournament MVP, player props, a whole lot more today. Here are the odds for most outstanding player. Now, guys, we're in the Sweet 16 round, but so far, Jalen Suggs, the odds-on favorite for tournament MVP at plus 450. Right behind him, Corey Kispert, his teammate, at plus 500. Right behind him, his teammate, True Time, at plus 550. You got to go all the way down to the fourth player where you get a couple of Baylor guys and Jared Butler and Miko Teague at plus 600, then plus 1,400. But the odds are out there. The national championship odds are out there. No surprise here. Gonzaga still plus 140, the odds on favorite. Baylor plus 350 there, followed by Michigan, Houston, Alabama, Loyola, Chicago, Florida State, Arkansas, USC, Creighton, Oregon, Villanova, UCLA, Oregon State, Syracuse, and Oral Roberts. The disrespect to Oral Roberts. How about that? But What I'm getting at here is you can get on all this action right now at some really good odds at BetOnline. The fastest, easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Place your bets today and see if any of them hit at the end of March Madness. And if you're signing up for the first time and making your first deposit, you will get 50% welcome bonus on that first deposit. It's literally free money if you use the promo code Locked On. Go on BetOnline and place your future bets. Place your tournament MVP bets, your national championship bets, the winning conference, some props, anything you can possibly want at BetOnline. Use that promo code Locked On and you'll get 50% welcoming bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Are you guys ready for the NFL draft? If you are, then you need to join the Locked On NFL Draft host Trevor Sakima and Benjamin Solak as they give you their latest positional rankings and analysis on the 2021 draft prospects with team-centric guest mocks right around the corner. Follow the Locked On NFL Draft podcast on the radio.com app or wherever you get your podcasts. We continue on here with a Wednesday show. Big thanks to Josh Ward for joining us. We discussed Kim English and him taking over the George Mason head coaching vacancy, and now Tennessee's in the running for an assistant coach now to join Rick Barnes' staff. But now I want to conclude a Wednesday show discussing the Lady Vols. Tennessee falls in the round of 32 by a final score of 70-55, coming up short to Michigan. This was a 3-6 matchup. Tennessee the 3 seed, Michigan a 6 seed, and this was in the round of 32. Tennessee was trying to get back to its first Sweet 16 appearance since the 2015-16 season. So it's been a minute for the Lady Vols. Of course, the last couple years, of course, last year there was no postseason play because of COVID-19, but a first-round exit in 2018-19, round of 32 exit the two seasons prior to that, and then you got to go back to 2015-16 where it made it on to the second weekend of the tournament and actually bowed out in the Elite Eight three of those past 4 years from there. That was the first 4 years of Holly Warlick. Again, first 4 years for Holly Warwick, Elite Eight, Sweet 16, Elite Eight, and Elite Eight. And then it was round of 32, round of 32, first round, and then it is Kelly Harper. But the Lady Vols, a little upsetting, of course, looked really, really good in the second half against MTSU back on Sunday, and Renia Davis just didn't have it today. She's been so great, an All-American honorable mention from the Associated Press, Renia Davis. She is Lady Vols, you know, but she just didn't have it today. She finished with 12 points, but 4 of 17 shooting. A big reason why the Lady Vols only shot 33% from the field in the game, made only 2 3-pointers the entire contest, and turned it over 16 times. 16 turnovers led to 21 points for Michigan off those turnovers. Michigan, on the other hand, didn't shoot much better, shot 38%, but didn't make 6 3-pointers, and had Leah Brown score over 20 points in that ball game, and Naz Hillman almost scored 20. She finished with 19. So Lady Vols bow out in the round of 32 to Michigan, an upset for the Lady Vols because, again, this was a 6 against a 3, 70-55 the final score. Lady Vols just, man, didn't have it there in the second half. Fell behind by double figures and tried to make it close. Brought it within 12, 11 a couple times and just couldn't break through. But the Lady Vols season is over. So no basketball left on Rocky Top this season. The men bow out in the first round of the NCAA tournament. The Lady Vols pick up a win over MTSU and then bow out in the round of 32 against Michigan. Obviously, it's upsetting. It's an upsetting hoop season ending here on Rocky Top for both teams. But you know, you had a men's team that started ranked, what was it, 8th in the country, went as high as 6th in the country at one point, or started 10th, I believe. But nonetheless, Tennessee made it as high as 6th, stayed in the AP top 25 poll all season long until the last 3 weeks of the regular season. And then just struggled from there. Did make it to the semifinal round of the SEC tournament. Held a double-digit lead against Alabama, who won the tournament. Blew that lead, then fell to Oregon State, which could be the Cinderella in this year's tournament. Lady Vols, on the other hand, were not preseason ranked. Went as high as, I believe, 10 in the country at one point. But I think Kelly Harper did a really nice job with this program this year. It was not a good season last year. Lady Vols were 21-10, 10-6 in SEC play. Finished tied for third, but There was about a six-way tie there, if my memory serves me correct, back last season heading into the SEC tournament. But kind of brought this team back, had a really nice record of 17-8, 9-4 in conference play, finished third outright heading into the tournament, and again, made it to the semifinal round again. And so it's frustrating, I get it, especially with the pedigree that is this Lady Vols program, but let's be honest, guys, it's not been that old-fashioned Lady Vols pedigree really for, you know, almost a decade now. Of course, the last the last Final Four appearance for the Lady Vols was all the way back in 07-08 when you won a national championship, repeating from the year before in 06-07. Before that, it was an Elite Eight. I mean, what just an incredible run for the Lady Vols under Pat Summitt. I mean, you guys know this. You guys can look at the records and the stat sheets as well. But towards the end of Pat Summitt's era, which still finished with an Elite Eight appearance that last year in 2011-2012. Of course, Holly Warlick was kind of running the show at that point, but once Warlick took over, Elite Eight, Sweet 16, Elite Eight, Round of 32, Round of 32, and then a first-round exit. Now for the Lady Vols, another second-round exit. It's disappointing, I get it, but there's so much parity in college basketball right now on the women's side. It's not just three or four teams at the top anymore. You know this. So Lady Vols, what an incredible brand, still recruiting at a high level. Incredible student-athletes, but it's just not what it was 10-plus years ago, and that's because of the parity and how the women's game has gotten so much better, especially in the SEC. That's why, like, a win over South Carolina earlier this season was so impressive for me. South Carolina was the number one seed, ranked second in the country when Tennessee did beat them. Nonetheless, a disappointing ending for sure. I had the Lady Vols going to the Sweet 16 and bowing out to Baylor. If Tennessee was going to win that game, it would likely play UConn in the Elite Eight. So I had Tennessee winning this game and then bowing out to Baylor in the Sweet 16. But nonetheless, Lady Vols fall to Michigan by 15 in the round of 32. And that's what brings this season to a close. I've got some notes pulled up here. And of course, I know the Lady Vols have an incredible history. I mean, I've grown up here in East Tennessee. I know all about it. But goodness, when you have the list, like with the years, kind of like pennants, you know, that you would see in Thompson Bowling Arena, NCAA tournament champions and all the dates, NCAA tournament runners-up and all the dates, Final Fours, Elite Eight, Sweet 16, so on and so forth, conference championships, conference tournament championships, and seeing the rows and columns of years that are listed under there, it is pretty incredible. Will Tennessee ever get back to that dominance? I don't think it will ever be that dominant again. Because, again, the game has improved so much and there's so much parity. But certainly Lady Vols are getting better, have the right coach, and I think it's just a matter of time before you start seeing some more tournament runs deeper into the month of March, whereas not first or second round exits. So Lady Vols season comes to a close. Tennessee finishes the season 17-8, 9-4 in SEC play. And that will probably do it for Renaya Davis, the senior. And if it is, what a career for her. I'm not sure if she has any plans to maybe come back. I don't think so. I haven't heard anything. But Renaya Davis, what a career for the Lady Vols. Just exceptional. Fantastic. Sour way to go out for 17 from the field. But a fantastic All-American honorable mention season for Renaya Davis. Coming up on Thursday's podcast, Pro Day is Thursday. The start of spring practice is on Thursday. We're going to have audio analysis and a whole lot of football talk coming up on tomorrow's show. Looking forward to it here. But today, we chatted Kim English. We talked to Josh Ward, and we talked Lady Vols and how they bound out against Michigan in the tournament. A lot of football talk ahead here on Locked On Vols as we continue on throughout the rest of this week. Guys, I appreciate you hanging out with me here today. I'm Eric Kane, your host, at underscore Kaner on Twitter, at Locked On Vols. Follow along with this podcast. Follow it on social media. You can find this podcast anywhere you want to get podcasts. Literally, when you wake up in the morning, it's all there for you. I schedule it overnight. So unless you stay up all night, I know when you wake up in the morning, you can turn over, go ahead and hit that download button, subscribe, and rate if you haven't already. But it's available wherever you want to get your podcast. Play it on the way to work, when you're at the gym, when you're trying to avoid work in the cubicle at about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Whatever gets the job done, I encourage you to do just that. But guys, if you like football, stay tuned. A whole lot of football talk coming up the rest of the week as Locked On Vols continues on here on the Locked On Podcast Network.